Coming up, we'll be talking college badminton. No, just kidding. It's the Super Bowl edition of the Free For All.
You're listening to Free For All from the Wall Street Journal. Now, here's Jason Gay.
This is Jason Gay. Welcome to the Free For All, as always, joined by my colleague Jim Cherusmi. Jim?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. Jim, you're beating me to it. And across the table, our European football correspondent, turned North American football correspondent, Jonathan Clegg.
Hello.
And joining us from San Francisco, or where are you, Kevin? Are you in the Bay Area?
I'm in San Francisco.
You're actually in the city limits.
Yeah, which I think that most people would prefer that we don't stay in the city limits because nothing else is in the city limits except for us, the media. But yes, I am in San Francisco.
Yes, Kevin, you know, I know people are not allowed really in the media to vent their frustrations publicly because, after all, these are, you know, jobs that a lot of people would do for free. But
correct,
please complain away about your petty grievances with the Super Bowl scheduling and media transportation.
Yeah, so I don't have that many complaints. Again, this is a fantastic job that I'm lucky to have. However, the Bay Area, you sort of have to make a decision, okay? Everyone's been to the Bay Area and, you know, done the thing where they're having a meeting in San Jose and they, oh, maybe they'll go to San Francisco for dinner. And then you get on the highway and the GPS on your phone says it's going to take 8 hours to get downtown to San Francisco. And you say, actually, I'll eat at the Courtyard Marriott lobby in San Jose. That's where I'm going to do, okay? And so everyone's had that. And so I sort of saw this coming where, okay, the practice will be in Santa Clara and the media will be in San Jose and Santa Clara. And all of a sudden, the bus rides take 2 hours here. So you have to, for an 8 a.m. availability like the Broncos, you have to get up and catch the bus at 6 a.m. So, look, there are worse problems in the world, but certainly...
Where are the teams practicing? They're not over in the what's
the
it called?
Panthers are at San Jose State, and I think that the Broncos would then be in the are in Santa Clara, so they would just be at the Niners.
Do you guys get chips escorts, like California Highway Patrol escorts?
Yeah, it depends. For media night, we did. For some of the other stuff, we haven't. But yeah, I could you imagine?
There was a police escort for media night. Oh, that's great to hear.
Well, it makes sense. Because
some tax dollars well spent.
The only reason it makes sense is that if you delay the media, you then delay the players, and they miss something valuable, in their preparation. And that's the only argument for it. I think we should probably just leave with enough time to make it, okay? I mean, if we have Wi-Fi on the bus, it's not a huge problem. But, I could not imagine how frustrating it must be. I mean, it's already a nightmare to get around Northern California to begin with. And if I was stopped for even 5 seconds so that, you know, I could get through, you know, a media member could get through, I would be very upset, and I would write my local congressman.
So it sounds like you've been having a great time.
It's fantastic.
And when did you get there?
Sunday morning.
Okay, so just roughly, what's your expense bill look like right now at this point? We're here Thursday, you got 4 more nights to go? Are we over 5,000?
Jason, I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm not looking at totals for expense bills. I mean, it's just, the issue is that the hotels in downtown San Francisco are not particularly cheap, and that's the bulk of it. You know, I'm not one of these guys who goes out and goes to crazy. I'm not going to the French Laundry or anything like that. Yeah. It just happens to be a very expensive city to sleep in.
Let me just give you a pro tip, because I've been at this game a little bit longer than you, Kevin. When you fill out your expenses, make your seaweed massage wrap. That can go under, just say, miscellaneous electrical
office supplies.
And they'll clear it right through. No problem. Well, we do have a football game, and we kind of hopped right in here with Kevin, but this is our Super Bowl edition of the Free For All. We're going to go all Sporty Spice for you today. Denver versus Carolina. Game is at 3:30 Pacific time, 6:30 Eastern time. Central time, what's
5:30
Mountain time, 4:30
Mountain
time. Denver. They used to say Central and Mountain a lot when I was a kid, when they'd say, like, you know, Monday Night Football, Central and Mountain.
Yeah.
But there's been, you know, some buzz coming out of this game. ESPN has worked its darndest to try to create some sort of, like, cultural, you know, conflict between Peyton Manning and Cam Newton. It doesn't seem to have really caught on in any degree. I think people are, frankly, just excited to see Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, as well as see Peyton Manning get what is presumed to be one last crack at a second ring. Kevin, is there much electricity around the Bay Area about this game?
I mean, no. You get in this bubble. You get in this bubble when you're covering the game because the only people around you are media members, and all media members are totally over it and hate sports and haven't really. You know, if you try to talk to a lot of people about the game, which I do because I'm still excited about the sport and the game, sometimes people just say, "I've seen this before." And so, you don't really talk to real people, I guess, is the point, when you're at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so there isn't a lot of electricity yet. That sort of starts around Friday night, Saturday morning when the fans get in and people get really excited.
So you're still like the kid in Almost Famous, like following around Stillwater. You're still...
Kevin is actually a lot like that kid from Almost Famous.
Is that true? How so?
Well, he's sort of wide-eyed and incredibly young.
And you haven't been corrupted.
That's where it is.
If we're going to carry this analogy through, who's your Lester Bangs? Is that Clegg? Is Clegg your Lester Bangs whispering you down the phone that everyone is just awful?
I don't want to out a Lester Bangs, and someone who just like is who is guiding me, or someone who is like, you know, has a lot of advice for me. There's millions of those people around the media corps. I mean, okay. Everyone has been extremely nice to me. I'm sorry for the diplomatic answer, but I've been very lucky to be embraced by people who are 20, 30 years old.
Kevin, I've been around you, and you're not cool. Almost Famous. Okay, let's try to make some excitement out of this game. The general proposition here is that Carolina had a very persuasive case as the best team in football throughout the season. They went 15-1. They very much handled three pretty solid opponents during the postseason to get here, or two rather, two very solid opponents in Seattle and Arizona to get here. Cam Newton is an MVP who is playing like one, has had no drop-off in the postseason. Denver, by contrast, has an excellent defense, which had a incredibly great day against Tom Brady a couple of weeks ago, and yet kind of a stifled offense. And the expectation here is that Carolina is just going to overwhelm them, that it might not be some sort of crazy blowout like we saw a couple years ago, 43-8 Seattle over the Broncos, but it might not be far off from that. Has that mood changed around this game?
Obviously, once the matchup was decided, everyone saw this as a chance to blow out. I think it's becoming, maybe out of media boredom, and again, you can never underestimate media boredom changing the narrative on something. I think that we're getting a little more towards it's going to be a close game. I am starting to think that maybe the Broncos are going to win this game, and I'm starting to predict maybe like a 20-18 game. You know, I think that one of the theories you always hear about really, really good defensive teams, and the Broncos are one of them, is they are used to sort of perpetually playing in big games. And what I mean by that is that they are always playing in a three-point game, a four-point game. So they're always used to closing out games. They're always used to knowing that if they make one mistake, the game is over because they can't score. And their offense isn't going to help them out. And so defensive teams are always better in big games because they're used to the pressure of it. Now, if you have a team like Carolina, they have a great defense. They're scoring 27, 30 points a game. There is less pressure on a play-to-play basis, and so bigger games are a little harder for that. That's just something the coaches have talked about in the last couple of years, and because you know the idea of a strong defensive team without an offense, that's really died the last 4 or 5 years. You know, passing records have never been better, getting broken. You know, weekly. I think what the five best passing performances in NFL history have been in the last 6 years.
No question there's been this sort of shift, but I want to bring Clegg in here that I just think that this comes down to Cam Newton. It's the most simplistic take on it, but it I think is the real thing, which is that you watch Denver against Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a spectacular all-time Hall of Fame quarterback, but Cam Newton's a totally different kind of player and threat and can do so many more things and is so much harder to game plan for and can make the kinds of plays that Brady cannot, and sort of the things that, you know, Denver did to shut down aren't necessarily going to work on Newton. You can't use that as some sort of, you know, flagpole here and say, like, okay, well, they're just going to do what they did to the Patriots.
Yeah, no, sure. I think we've talked about that before, about how Denver's defense may be a better matchup for a team like New England with a sort of drop-back passer, given that the strength of their defense is those outside pass rushers. And, you know, the danger with those guys against a quarterback like Newton is that as they, you know, get deep into the backfield, he can just sort of sidestep them, and then he's running upfield for 20 yards or whatever. I think the interesting thing about this game is I think that the first half of the first quarter, I think the first sort of 5, 6, 7 minutes is going to be very instructive about how the game's going to play out. I think if Denver is able to shackle Newton, because the Panthers, especially lately, have really started these games like a freight train, and
yeah.
And I think if it's
a 0-0 game after the first quarter, it's right. Like, huh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they're getting into the mud fest that the Broncos want.
Right, exactly. And I think as well, the fact that that Wade Phillips has had 2 weeks to prepare for the Panthers were on such a roll that they may have, if the game had just been on a 1 week, break, then they may have just rolled into this game.
Do you think that we're going to come down in the ratings a tiny bit here, Jim? You know, last year we had a record, was 114 million watching the game. It was a good game. You know, you got to keep that in mind. That always helps the mean. That broke last year, the year before his record. This year, you know, Peyton Manning is, I think, probably even a bigger draw than the Patriots and Tom Brady, but it's not the Peyton Manning you sort of hope and expect to see.
Well, is it the Peyton Manning?
Well, it's interesting because last year, 114 million, there's a prop bet that the over-under this year is 117 million. So they're expecting a larger audience with Peyton Manning in the game. I think it's going to be, I would take the over on 117.
I think
million.
They just massage that number every year to, like, you know, get it up above, you know, just incrementally above the year before. Who knows? But I mean, you know, if you have a good game, then I think you're going to get very close to that rating. But
I want to say something on ratings real quick, because I think I had always had this theory that it takes a really long time for middle America and most fans to understand who's famous. And I always thought, okay, well, Tom Brady, everyone's going to tune in because he's been famous for a decade. And then something happened over the summer that changed my view of this. And it was that I assumed that ratings were going to go down for the Steph Curry coronation, because I thought Steph Curry wasn't as famous as I thought, you know, going into that final. And I think now, this is my theory on this, I think that the news cycle moves so fast that you can actually become that national worldwide superstar in a much quicker time than it took in decades past.
Oh, I think that's very true. And I think that Newton falls into this category of a player that if you have even a passing interest in the sport or no passing interest in the sport, you watch him and you say, like, wow, this is really something else and something special and cool to watch. So I think, you know, there's little doubt that Newton is in that category. And I think an awful lot of people will be excited to watch it. And I think that what you're also saying is that these things aren't as geography-based as they may have been in years past. You know, when people say, oh, my God, oh, you know, this team is from a small market and this team is from a smaller market. You know, you're looking at here, Denver's a pretty substantial media market. Certainly the Southeast of the United States is significant, but, you know, it's not the Cowboys versus Pittsburgh. I don't think it matters in the same way it may have a decade ago even.
Right. I think we're pretty much post-geography at this point. If you look at, you know, Jerry Jones always has that number about how 98% of NFL fans have never even been to an NFL stadium. And I think now with the message boards and the connections you can feel, you can just go on Reddit and talk about the Cowboys as much as you can talk about it at the bar, you know, 5 years ago. And so I think that really geography matters less than ever. And so I don't think anyway, I think people in Ohio feel as much connection to Cam Newton, if they're Cam Newton fans, than people in Charlotte.
Speaking of post-geography, did you read that New Yorker story about the big quake?
The one that won the story of the year about Seattle?
Yeah, just about, you know, what's going to happen to the, you know, much of the Pacific Coast.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen this week.
Okay, just wondering. You nervous?
Are you asking if I have any, like, inside info? Like, if there's any buzz about a
No, I'm going to ask Tarun, is there a prop bet?
The tectonic
there is,
plate
actually.
Oh, wait. There's a prop bet?
There is actually a prop bet. Will an earthquake occur during the Super Bowl?
What are the? I want to get the odds on this.
I think it was 20 to 1.
This is going to make Kevin feel good.
20 to 1? That's pretty low.
I'm fine with this.
I mean, an earthquake, actually 10 to 1.
10 to 1? Wow.
But 10 to 1 means, you know, I mean, there sure could be like a 3.0 on the Richter, right?
Unbelievable.
But they're not common. I mean, they're not common. I would like to short that bet.
Okay. All right, we're going to come back after this little breaky break and talk about the Super Bowl party, talk about some Super Bowl day traditions, and whether or not the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hi, this is Veronica Dagger. Catch me midweek every week on Watching Your Wealth, where you learn all you need to know about building your wealth and protecting your money. Check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts and become a subscriber on iTunes.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously. Now, here's Jason Gay.
I always like to grill Clegg about his personal life because I don't know. Like the other day, Jim, I went for a little walk around lunchtime, and I ran into Clegg coming out of the men's dressing room at J. Crew.
Yeah.
That's great. So you were at the men's dressing room.
I was near the men's dressing room looking at the half-price sweaters. I wasn't actually in the dressing room, but Clegg had come out. What were you trying on, Clegg?
The half-price sweaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of a fascinating window into the life of Clegg. But Clegg, what are your Super Bowl party plans?
Well, I'm going to be at the WSJ sports party here in the office editing the game story that comes out of the Super Bowl. But so I will not be partaking in any Super Bowl party. It's been a long time since I've been to a Super Bowl party, actually. In fact, I'm going to say that I've never been to a Super Bowl party.
Oh, wait. This has to be rectified. You've never been to a Super Bowl party?
Yeah, well, 3 in the morning, exactly.
You've been to a Super Bowl.
I've been to 4 Super Bowls,
but you have not. It's not Super Bowl-I. It's Super Bowls. But you've never actually been to a Super Bowl party.
I have never been to a Super Bowl
party.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I actually once
It sounds vaguely aristocratic. I've only been to Super Bowls.
I once threw a Super Bowl party in my apartment when the Oakland Raiders got to the Super Bowl. And after about 5 minutes of the first quarter, when it became apparent the Raiders were going to get blown out, I sent everyone out of the apartment because I was so upset and furious.
How many people were there?
A dozen, maybe?
So they also threw a dozen people out of your apartment in a rage.
I realized that the last thing I wanted to do in that spot was be around other people while the Raiders got
blown out. And so where did these poor souls go?
They were not that interested in the game. I think they only turned up for the free food. So
this was in the UK?
This was in the UK, like in London.
Yeah, I love this. And what time of night was it?
It was sort of shortly after midnight, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's not that.
They have to catch the tube home anyway.
No, they were probably grateful that I hadn't kept them there until 3 a.m., whatever. But
see, this is why you ask Clegg these questions. Jim, what's your Super Bowl party plan?
I will be sitting alongside John at the WSJ Sports Super Bowl party.
It's the saddest Super Bowl party.
Get the guacamole out, Jim.
It might be a little old-time newsroom of me, but I think it's fine for you guys to have a few pops, just not before you edit my story, okay? I think it's fine to have a beer or two sitting at your sad little editor's Super Bowl party. So I want to ask about the idea of Super Bowl Monday as a national holiday. Now, to backtrack, there's always a conversation around election time as to whether or not Election Day should be a national holiday. The idea being like, look, in a democracy, you want to encourage as many people as possible to vote, and why not just give everyone the day off, or as many people as possible the day off, and have them come in and vote and, you know, raise the percentages and so on. That's all good. But let's talk about something much more important, which is the Super Bowl and whether or not Monday should be a holiday and what that should mean. I'm writing about this for tomorrow. Matt talked to some players who were sort of on both sides of the fence on this. Kevin, where do you feel? Do you think there's any benefit to making Super Bowl? I'm not talking about moving the game to Monday, just to clarify. We're just talking about making it into a three-day weekend.
Okay, so why don't you expand the season and expand maybe even the playoffs and have Super Bowl Sunday on the Sunday of President's Day week?
I suggested that very thing earlier today. I think that's the best idea.
I think that's just a natural thing. I think actually Bill Simmons has been banging that drum for a couple of years. But I just feel like that's the natural thing. You don't have to go through Congress or whatever. You just put it on Sunday night. Everyone can stay out. You know, you can have a Super Bowl party that lasts till 3 a.m. like Flags was supposed to in London.
Yep.
And no one has any guilt about it.
Okay.
I often used to take, as someone who used to stay up and have to stay up until 3 a.m. watching the Super Bowl, I often used to take off the Monday from used to take off Monday from work back at home, and it was terrific. Yep, I totally endorse it. Totally endorse the Super Bowl.
Are there any sports-based holidays in the UK?
Boxing Day is a big day for soccer.
Yeah. That's not, yes, yeah, not boxing. No, there are no sports holidays.
Okay. Jim yeah. celebrates the Super Bowl sort of as a religious holiday because it means some gambling. And Jim,
yeah,
want to ask you, well, first of all, what's the line right now?
Six.
Six.
Carolina minus six.
And that's up from?
Over under 45.
45. Oh, I like that. I like the over there. What was the line to open?
It was four.
It was four, and it's gone up. Now, do you think it's going to go up a little bit more?
I think I have some expert analysis here. I talked to the oddsmaker at the Wynn Las Vegas, Johnny Avello,
okay.
who said that he doesn't anticipate them moving the lineup any further. He thinks six is a good number, but so far he's taken about 80% money on Carolina. Lots of big bets on Carolina, and he thinks that people on Denver are either waiting for the line to keep going up, so that they can swoop in once they move the line too high.
Is the Super Bowl a bigger day for Vegas than, say, a huge prize fight or, you know, NCAA tournament?
I think the Super Bowl is the biggest wagering day.
It is. Okay. Now, a big reason why it's the biggest wagering day are the prop bets, the proposition bets we referred to earlier, in which the NFL puts all kinds of ephemera on the table for you to bet on. So I asked Jim to come up with one or two of his favorites and, you know, not just favorites, but things that he feels confident in declaring. So if you're standing near a casino or a sports book in Las Vegas, run right in after you hear this podcast. So, Jim, give me one.
Well, the first thing is you can bet on the length of the national anthem by Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Over under 2 minutes, 20 seconds.
Okay.
I did some research on that. I watched Lady Gaga videos on YouTube of her singing the national anthem and timed them. And one of them came in at 2 minutes and 15 seconds. She sang at the New York City Pride event in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
2 minutes, 15 seconds, and she was singing rather slowly, rather deliberately, playing to the crowd. That came in at 2 minutes, 15 seconds. So I think the under is a lock.
Hammer. Can I just ask a funny question here? That, I mean, she knows what she's going to sing. And so what's to prevent, I always wonder this, what's to prevent Lady Gaga from, you know, saying to, you know, her buddy, Joe, in Las Vegas, hey, Joe, like, I know I'm going to be at 245, so just put, you know, 100 stacks on that.
I don't think they take, there's a limit to the amount you can bet on these.
Right, 200 bucks.
Right, right.
Oh, you can only put 200 on a prop.
Yes.
Oh.
On
well,
some props.
Of the, some
yes.
of the props. Yeah. Like the Lady Gaga prop.
Like the MVP, whatever, you can bet, you know, how many receiving
yards. Gotcha. So that's
right.
how they prevent against
right.
the fixing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But you can, like, on the coin toss, you could bet as much money as you want because that can't be controlled. That's what the...
That's what you think.
The Gretzky family got hot water over betting coin.
Okay. Though. Speaking of that, I just want not to
60% of the money's on heads, by the way.
That's amazing. Not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but Kevin, are you aware that there are lots of internet conspiracies and YouTube conspiracy theories about the NFL's arranging of the last few Super Bowls?
I mean, the first comment on my Panthers strategy story the other day was that Cam Newton faked the car accident that he was in. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
But the narrative, yes, I read the same thing. This is what provoked my interest in this. So this gentleman, you know, Kevin wrote this wonderful story about how the Panthers don't fire anybody and it's how it created this positive culture of success. And someone wrote in the comments, like, oh, yeah, that's just nonsense. You know, Cam Newton's car wreck was staged. You know, this dangerous car wreck, which Cam Newton was almost grievously injured in last year, he's claiming was staged as the NFL is trying to set this up as some sort of like last hurrah for Peyton Manning versus the great young superstar of the NFL. And this has been the plan for years now. And it's no different than a couple years ago with the staging of Patriots versus Seattle. I mean, it sounds like it has a lot of truth to it, Kevin.
I'm actually writing that Friday for Saturday. So it's 100% sure, yeah.
Jim, do you think there's any truth to these, conspiracies?
Well, as we can see that the NFL hasn't been great in controlling the story of such things, that if there was this grand conspiracy, I think it probably wouldn't have gone so well.
What was the idea that only by sort of narrowly cheating death would we be able to get behind Cam Newton? You know, forget about the fact that he's a thrilling athlete to watch. It's like, and he escaped a car wreck. Was that the idea?
Exactly.
Yeah, he escaped the car wreck, right, and then now he's...
John, we put a man on the moon. You don't think we can do that? Oh, wait a second.
Did we?
We didn't.
Did we?
What am I saying? Of course we didn't put a man on the moon.
The NFL has shown very little skill at pulling anything off, okay, except getting people to watch. So I don't think that they would be able to pull off any sort of conspiracy theory, or conspiracy, especially one that would actually work and draw interest in people. That's not their style, things working out for them.
Hey, Kevin, when's Roger Goodell's big Q&A clam bake? Is that already happened or is it coming up?
It's Friday.
It's Friday. And, you know, the last few, the heat has really been on. Do you think this one's going to be comparatively less pitted? I think there'll probably be a ton of boring L.A. talk, right?
A lot of boring L.A. talk, a lot of Redskins talk. I think that's the next frontier because they've dealt with all the other things.
The name?
Yeah, every year the same question is asked. Yeah, and then he says, "Oh, it's not meant to offend anybody."
So after LA, that's the next mountain for the NFL to climb?
No, that's what he's going to be asked about.
Okay, concussions?
It's not like they sat in a room, last month when they got the team in LA and said, "Okay, now it's time to look at the Redskins fan." No, it's just media sits there and says, "What can I ask that can get the ball rolling on something, get attention to the reporter asking the question?" We think about those things. The people who are asking Goodell questions are typically the people who are trying to get some attention for something they're working on or they're want to write a column on or whatever. I mean, you can get...
Kevin, that is a cynical take on, what some of the great questions in NFL press.
Well, it was only 2 years ago that we asked him about the frozen statue of Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Who courageously asked about our publicity stunt.
Who was sent out there to ask?
Stu?
Oh, brother. Jim just mentioned concussions, and, we heard this week multiple reports, New York Times, ESPN reporting that Ken Stabler was diagnosed with CTE posthumously. He had passed away a few months ago, the great Oakland Raiders quarterback. We're coming out of, there was a movie, there was continued conversation with it. I think there's general growing acceptance among football fans that there are some things, considerably problematic about what happens to brains over, extended football play. And yet it does nothing to ratings. It does nothing to curb the appetite for football, at least at this level. Do you think that's going to be much of a conversation point tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, that's something that he'll definitely be asked about. I think that he's going to try to spin it. I've talked to enough people in the NFL. Concussions were up by a wide margin this year, and I think the NFL sees that, and they say, okay, well, that means that awareness is up. That means more guys are going to the sideline reporting symptoms, which is true. But I just think that, after 4 or 5 years of saying, safety is our top priority, we're trying to make the game safer, and there's still, 250 concussions over the season. I still think it's very concerning for the NFL. I don't know what you do at this point. And the issue is that for whatever reason, concussion news, concussion movies are sort of falling on deaf ears. That movie didn't do very well. People don't seem interested in consuming concussion media. And so I worry a little bit that maybe the NFL is going to be as cynical as they were 10, 15 years ago and say, well, nobody cares, so why are we going
to
do anything?
But do you buy – but it seems to me that, you know, much in the same way we've had, you know, public regulation happen with things like smoking and so on, that it, what it's going to happen is it's a slow process that's going to be generational, and where the impact is going to be is in young people and building a generation of people who are less inclined to do something. And – you know, there's anecdotal evidence that suggests we're, you know, getting there at the youth sports level. And
but I think that is so stupid, because there is no the evidence of CTE is not in, from kids who played youth football. This is like a small number of pro football players who played decades ago when safety was like a complete afterthought. These are the people who suffer. There is no evidence that
I agree 100% with that, John, but I think from the perspective of a parent, they are not looking for things to be forensically proven to them in order for them to be anxious about putting their child into any certain circumstance. We are living in an incredibly anxious era of parenting.
Well, yes, that's
where,
true.
You know, you have parents who don't want their kids to, you know, have sugar before the age of 16 because they're afraid they're going to end up in prison. It's just, you know, so it doesn't matter if there's an empirical evidence here. What matters is perception. And, you know, if there is the perception among increasing numbers of parents that they don't want their kids to play, that's all it takes.
Well, yesterday was National Signing Day in college football. And, you know, as I saw all the parents, you know, hosting these signing day parties for their kids, they didn't seem terribly concerned.
Yeah, but you're talking about the 1% of the 1% of the 1%, even for signing day.
Right, but I mean, it's only the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the 1% who are suffering, you know, these horrendous, you know, head
trauma.
That
Michigan thing was a little over the top, I thought.
Over the top? It was crazy.
Did you see any of that, Jim?
I did. I saw Lou Holtz. Why was Lou Holtz there?
Did they hire him? Was he hired?
Jim Leland and Ric Flair were there, too.
I mean, they were just, it was the strangest thing I've ever seen. It was like a combination of like a Cannonball Run movie, you know, Entertainment Tonight, you know, vintage Carson with the couches and stuff. The players were almost an afterthought to the people they were dragging
out
there. What
did Madonna do to not get invited to that? How has she offended her?
It just also goes to show that we are just so desperate for content. Look at that thing. Everyone's talking about it. It was like a television show. It just was, you know, more people probably watch that than will watch like a stage of the Tour de France next year.
Yeah,
I have a policy where I unfollow all of our Michigan colleagues when something Michigan big is happening. So the Final Four, a big BCS Bowl or whatever. And I was so busy yesterday, I couldn't unfollow all of our Michigan colleagues. So I actually had to see their commentary, and it was the worst mistake of my career.
All right, Jimmy, give me another prop bet.
All right. Well, this is fun because our podcast touches upon politics. We had Brett Stevens on a couple weeks ago. Excellent. This is a good prop. Trump percentage points in New Hampshire compared with the total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team. What's going to be higher? So Trump currently has a 17-point lead in New Hampshire, if you believe the polls.
It's the lead? It's not his percentage?
No, it's percentage points. How many percentage points he gets in New Hampshire in the primary.
And what, is he polling in New Hampshire right now?
I looked at the recent poll. One poll, anywhere between 31 and 38 is what the polls are saying. The lowest number, I think, is 31.
Historically, that is...
And is it just a one-to-one bet?
Right. What's going to be higher?
Historically, a 30-plus point by the winning team is rare in the Super Bowl, right?
Right. So Trump's percentage points is actually the favorite. It's a 1-2 favorite, minus 200 on Trump percentage points in New Hampshire because he has this big lead. Total points scored by the winning Super Bowl team is a 3-2 underdog.
And these are fresh odds as of like...
Fresh odds.
This morning?
Fresh odds.
So, because Trump, you know, we know, you know, is a little bit under siege here.
Right. Right. So, this could be, you know, moving.
I like it. I like Carolina going ahead. I like Carolina over that there.
Ooh.
You know, I think, you know, Donnie's on the run. The Panthers have put up what they put up last week. They put up 49 and 34 in the playoffs.
They did.
I don't know.
I like Trump because I like a low scoring game. In this, I like the under. I like the under 45. That's the total under. So I'm going Trump on that.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up here. But before I go, Kevin, I want you to tell me the best meal you've had so far in the Bay Area. And don't say the Courtyard by Marriott snack bar.
I have not yet been out. I'm going to go to Matt Butterman and I are going to go to some Mexican places in Mission, I guess, this weekend. So that will be it. The answer is TBD.
So you've just been on the sad bus, back and forth, being sad on the sad bus?
Yeah, that's exactly how I looked at it. Yeah.
And definitely. How long, you know, because I'm going out there tomorrow, Kevin, so I expect my room to be ready.
pillows fluffed.
I'm not kidding. How long is that schlep? Like on Super Bowl Sunday, what time do I have to get on that bus? It's a 3:30 start. How long is it going to take to get down? Now, this is when they really bring out the...
If you were to guess when the main media escort leaves for the 3:30 game, what would you get?
The main media escort?
You get the police escort.
I think 9:30.
9:30 is exactly correct.
Yes! What do I win, Jim?
Yeah.
You get a football from Cam Newton.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, terrific. Sounds great. Kevin Clark, thank you so much for joining us from the city by the bay. John Clegg, our North American and European football correspondent. And as always, Jim Cherusmi. This has been the Free For All. Wishing you a very good Super Bowl Sunday. Remember, don't drink too much from the fountain of cheese. Monday is an optional work day. I'm Jason Gay. This is the Wall Street Journal Digital Network.